Well, this morning we go out again into the field to collect the morning manna that the Lord has very graciously given to us. And this morning we shall be discussing the important topic, whatever will be. Whether this is true or not, we have got to find out. I'm sure all of you are not that old not to know this song, whatever will be, que será, será. This was a very favorite song of mine in my young days, especially when I was watching the Doris Day show. And I think the music being so catchy, it caught on very, very easily for many of us. And I think some of you also know it. Right, I've given you the history of this song taken from the internet. Let's go through the words of this song. The song, when I was just a little girl, I asked my mother, what will I be? Will I be pretty? Will I be rich? Here's what she said to me. Que será, será. Whatever will be, will be. The future's not ours to see. Que será, what will be, will be. When I gave up and fell in love, I asked my sweetheart, sorry, when I grew up, not when I gave up, when I grew up, I got the wrong specs this morning. Honestly, I left my wing specs in the room. Well, I will be making more mistakes, but I hope you will pardon me. Alright. Second verse, when I grew up and fell in love, I asked my sweetheart, what lies ahead? Will we have rainbows day after day? Here's what my sweetheart said. And then we have the words for chorus again. Whatever will be, will be. Now I have children of my own very fast. They ask the mother, what will I be? Will I be handsome? Will I be rich? I tell them tenderly, what will be, will be. Let's pray. Oh gracious God and loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee this morning for this time that we can spend in Thy presence, collecting manna from Thee above. And we do pray, Lord, that even as we go out, we have this manna day by day to last each day of the week. We do pray that even as we meditate upon Thy word, we may have sustenance for this day. Lord, we may have an experience with Thee, walking with Thee, knowing what Thy mind is, and doing what Thou would have us to do this day. So teach us from Thy word, we do pray, as we consider this topic of whatever will be, will be. We know, Lord, that this is not so with Thee, because everything is under Thy control, and whatever will be, may to the world still will be, but for us we know, O God, that it need not be. So we pray that Thou would speak to be to us, each one of us, that we may still come to be what Thou would have us to be. So we speak, and so we pray that Thou would hear us as we utter all this in the blessed and precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Now from the thoughts of these lyrics, whatever will be, it gives the impression that things will not change. Things are out of our control. And if we are in such a circumstance, well, we are. That's all, we are. And nothing can change it. And that's why you see that we live in Malaysia. There are some of our friends who accept these things as fated, as what they say, as fated. What will be, will be. You cannot change them. Do should Christians have this kind of attitude towards things, towards the circumstances we are in, that whatever will be, will be. This is a challenge to all of us, that we have no choice, that things are what they are, and we are what we are, and where we are is where we have been created to be. We cannot change, and that's why sometimes some of us have been approached and say, you know, what you did was not too good. I think we should do it in perhaps in another way. No. I am what I am. You either accept me as I am or you don't. I am what I am and you are what you are. Is that our attitude that we cannot change? We cannot change at all? That for the rest of our lives we shall be what we think we shall be. Well, that's our challenge for this morning's morning manna. Is that the attitude that we should take? Well, let's see what the Bible has to say. That, you know, that at, in the end of it all, in the end analysis of it all, we as Christians have no choice. What God has decided, well, that's what it is. What will be, will be. God has willed that we are like that. So we are like that. That's all. God knows. And I cannot change. Well, I want to show that today we have a choice. A choice. The freedom of choice. And the Lord has given us that choice to be what He wants us to be. And at the same time, He has given us a choice not to be what He wants us to be. And what we want to be is dependent upon what we choose to be. And so, let's see some verses. But the first verse, and I feel this really core of our discussion, is found in Romans chapter 12. It's not in the notes. Romans chapter 12. And verse 1. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or worship. And be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. I'd like you to note, please. First, there is this appeal. This, I beseech you, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And when you have decided to present your bodies a living sacrifice, then comes the process of developing you to be what the Lord wants you to be. And that's why we have the word that you may approve the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. It is good, it is perfect, and it can be acceptable to you. And the proof of that process of you being molded into what God wants you to be is in verse 2. Be ye transformed. Be ye not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So, let me start with this. If we want to get into the will of God, then must I feel, and I believe strongly, the first step, and this is core to the understanding of the will of God and what God wants us to do and to be. And that is the presenting of ourselves. We need to decide. We need to tell God in a very specific and precise manner, Lord, I'm giving myself to you. From now onwards, you take over me and then you fashion me according to what you want me to be. Now, perhaps I can tell you my testimony here. This verse has shaped my life all the years that I have been a Christian up to today. It was somewhere in 1952, I think. 1952. I came to know the Lord in 1950. That will be half, over half a century already. And in 1952, anyone over 50? Oh yeah, two or three, or four. All right. So when I was born, you were not born yet. I was doing the Emmaus Bible course on Romans. course, the EBS mother course that I did would be completely different from the EBS mother course that you find now. The EBS mother course that you find now is multiple choice questions, ABC, true, false. And I gave that up a long time ago when they came up with the format. Mine was essay type. Write in 500 words what you think of this book of Romans, and so on. And I was writing an essay on Romans 12:1, how it speaks to you. And I could remember too, that night, nearly midnight, I was typing out the answer. Then it spoke to me so clearly, and that moment I gave my life to the Lord. And things began to change. Change in what way? Well, circumstances that came to my life, they were being used by the Lord to prepare. Now, knowing the will of God is not one act exercise. It is a progressive one, day by day, moment by moment. That's why it says that you may approve the things. You may approve the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. As each moment we obey, then the Lord reveals the next step. I believe that knowing the will of God is not one enlightenment where you know the end from the beginning, but you will know the will of God only step by step. As you take each step, you move on to the next step. But so long as you refuse that first step, you will not move on to the next step. And the rest of the pathway is still as dark as ever. But if you are prepared to learn to put your feet on the first step, then you go on. And I call this the center of God's will. It means placing yourself the very center of God and allowing God to use you to be whatever He wants you to be. So that will be the first step. And let's not talk about the will of God if you're not prepared to surrender yourself. So here sometimes we are saying, I want to know God's will, I want to know God's will. But there must, just as there was that day and that moment, when you surrendered your will to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ, to accept Him as your personal Savior. So that was for salvation. So you need to, at that moment, that day, that time, whatever it might be, but you need that decision to be made when you sanctify yourselves by surrendering yourself to the Lord. So there is the moment of salvation and there is the moment of sanctification, so that you now start to do what God's will is. And with that understanding as the basis, let us now contemplate more on this development of our being molded to be what God wants us to be. Alright, so let's look at what the Bible says. I put down as my first point, God gives a choice for you to be what you want to be. Or God gives you a choice for you not to be what God wants you to be. This is a choice. First step, remember this. You step into that center. Lord, I surrender. Then comes the next step when God reveals to you what you need to do. What do I mean by God reveals to you? No, God may not be revealing to you in specific terms and so on. But perhaps a circumstance comes into your life. Are you prepared to accept it? Or are you prepared, oh no, I do not want to go through that. And so you reject it. But this is your choice. God does not force you. This is your choice. God has a perfect plan for you, so to speak. But your choice, whether you want to follow that one or not. So, you do it step by step, step by step. So the first step is, as you have surrendered, then God will order the circumstances such a way, whether it be in your career, whether it be in your school life, or whether it be in whatever stage of your life, God will then control that circumstance, and it will be a learning experience to go on to find and approve the good, perfect, and acceptable will of God. So let's look at one instance. That God would change His mind if man would conform theirs to His choice. What will be, will be. What will be, will be. It's not right. What will be does not allow for change. But here I'm saying that God can change His mind because you change your mind. God, like for example, we have this reference in John chapter 3, Jonah chapter 3 and verse 10. Perhaps we may like to look at it. Jonah chapter 3 and verse 10, where we read that when Jonah preached that short sermon to the people in Nineveh, the people repented. And we read in chapter 3 and verse 10, God saw their works, that they turned from their evil way, and God repented of the evil. That is the King James Version, or in your NRSV, God changed his mind that he had said that he would do the evil that he had said, that he would, and he did it not, okay, and he did not. He sort of changed his mind. But does God change his mind? Does God just deal with us, and then suddenly he realizes, oh, that's not the way I should deal with you. I should deal with another way. I changed my mind. Is that what I mean when we read he changed his mind? Let's look at perhaps for a counterverse to understand this changing of mind of God. Let's look at Numbers chapter 23. Numbers 23 and verse 19. Now therefore, chapter 23, sorry, 23 and 19. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the son of man that he should repent. Hath he said, and shall he not do it? Or hath he said, or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good? Now, God does not change in his mind in that, oh, I made a mistake, so I changed my mind. Now, instead of directing you to this way, now I direct you to another way. Now, this is not what I mean when God changes his mind. He changes his mind because you and I change our mind. God had threatened that the Ninevites would be destroyed if they did not repent. And they repented. So if they repented, God could not just carry on and say, no, I will destroy you. But according to the change of mind on their part, God also changed his mind in that way to fit in with what your attitude was then, or for the Ninevites. And so we find that God can change his mind to fit in with the circumstances. But we must first change our mind towards God. And then God will treat us accordingly, and God will take us from that moment and lead us on and on to what he has in mind. Alright? So, let's go on to the second point. And perhaps, yes, Joshua also gave a choice to Israel. Joshua said at the end of his life to the people of Israel, choose you this day whom you will serve. As for me and my house, I will serve the Lord. Choose you. You need to choose. This is not forced on you. This is not what will be. This is, you make a decision. You decide. You want to follow, God will treat you accordingly. You do not want to follow, God will treat you accordingly. And this is what it is all about. It is not what will be. But it is what you want to be, God will allow you to be. And if you want to be what God wants you to be, then you will be what God wants you to be. If you do not want to be what God wants you to be, then he will not be what God wants you to be. And you will not be what God wants you to be. Are you following me? No, never mind. You think about it. Okay? That is the whole theme of our camp here. To be or not to be. And you have to think about it. To think about it. Alright. Now, let's perhaps look at another place to see that things are not what they are. That is, whatever will be, will be. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And I think this text relates to us in this camp very well. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verses 7, 8 and 9. I put down there verses 8 and 9 only, but I should include verse 7. Verse 7 says, "For I would that all men were even as I myself. But every man has his proper gift of God, and after this manner, and another after that. I say therefore to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot have self-control, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn." Now Paul says here, look, I'd like you to be like what I am. I'm not married. I'm a single. It's nice for you to be what I am. But then, not everyone can be like this. He accepts this. And that's what we have to accept concerning the will of God. We cannot generalize and say that this is the will of God for everyone. Although I will come to that later on. But there is that personal will of God as against the will of God as laid down in His precepts. So there is that personal will of God, and where it concerns the personal will of God for you and for me, everyone has a different calling from the Lord. And so the Paul says, I wish that all of you were single like me. But if you cannot be single, no problem, get married. And if you want to get married, and if problems come to your life, you're responsible too. Your choice, you're responsible. But for the moment, Paul says, I'm not going to discuss this with you, but the point is, every one of you has a choice. With the choice, you have a responsibility. Where whatever happens, you are responsible for that response, for the thing that happens to you. But it is not such a thing as whatever will be, will be. You have a choice to change whatever will be, so that whatever will be, will not be. That is what I want to impress upon you. You have a sole responsibility to allow God to make you what you want, what He wants you to be. And so we find Paul saying, if you are married, well, if you want to stay unmarried, good. Please withdraw those words. I withdraw those words. If you want to end up married, stay married. If you are not married, you want to stay unmarried, carry on. Carry on. But if you want to get married, no problem. But you're responsible. Okay? But God will bless you. God will lead you. If it is the will of God that you get married, get married. But if it is the will of God that you don't get married, don't get married. Paul says here, in verse 10, "And unto the married I command you, yet not I, but the Lord." You see the responsibility? Yet not I. Apparently, the Lord Jesus Christ, when He was on earth, He never dealt with bachelorhood or spinsterhood, the singles. He dealt with the married people. But perhaps the Lord, Paul, had a very special revelation from the Lord. And that's why he was able to say, "I command you, I command you. Let not the wife depart from the husband, but if she depart, let her remain unmarried." That is with regard to a person and two people who are married, and then later on one of them comes to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are told specifically that we are not to be unequally yoked. And so here you have a partner that is not a believer. So what will you do? You just get unmarried? No, you don't. You don't. Unless the other partner goes against it. And she doesn't want, or he doesn't want to stay with you because you have become a Christian. But whatever it is important. It is important that you don't take the first step of parting with her. Stay married and pray, hopefully, that perhaps the first partner will come to know the Lord later on. Alright, let's go on from there. So Paul himself says, allows a choice. Allows a choice. Then you have Philippians 1, 21 to 25, which we considered yesterday, that Paul had a choice too, whether to stay with the Christian Philippi or not, or to go and be with the Lord. He had a choice. But of course, that choice was not within him, within his power to control, because whether he dies or whether he does not die, that is not dependent on, that is not within his power. It's God's, it's the Lord's power. Alright, I'm going through here quite quickly in order to come to the second point. Freedom to choose comes with the consequence that you will be what you will be, or with the consequence that you will be what you will not be. Whatever way you choose, you will have to decide. And we'll take one example. Genesis chapter 24. Genesis chapter 24. Of the servant of Abraham who was sent to find a wife for Isaac. And in Genesis chapter 24 and verse 27, we read these words. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master, Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." I being in the way, the Lord led me. Let me share with you a secret. This was the verse that the Lord used to speak to me to confirm the choice of my wife. I being in the way, the Lord led me. So you have first to be in the way. And as I pointed out just now, to be in the way, you must first be in the spot where that spot will direct you to be in the way. And that spot, I call it just now as the center. The center. And you must start from there, that spot. When you are say to the Lord, "Lord, I surrender my life. From now onwards, you take over. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God." That's what is needed from us as the first step to know God's will. So we need to come to this first step. And when we come to the first step, then to be in the way, we take a step at a time. One step at a time. I believe that the Christian life, in the knowledge of God's will, is a series of steps. As we take one step that the Lord reveals to us as to what we should be doing, then He will reveal to us the next step. But He will not reveal to us the whole way through, so that by taking that first step, we will know what is the end cut and the end outcome of it all. No. As we learn to decide, to choose, to take that first step, then He will reveal the second step. And then we shall go on step by step, step by step. And that's what it means, only to be what He wants me to be every moment of the day. Moment by moment, step by step, as we go on, we come to know His will. Perhaps at this point here, I may share a story of how, after I decided to give my life to the Lord, how the Lord took me step by step, step by step. I shared this with my group last night, but perhaps I need to share this with the whole camp now. Now, I told you that I surrendered my life to the Lord. That was when I was in Form 4, according to your reckoning. At that time, it was Standard 8. We didn't have Form 1, Form 2, Form 3, Form 4. So it was Standard 8 for me. And I was in a donkey's class, in other words, 8D. I was not a bright student. 8D, donkey. But you will find out later on that donkey is very useful. Afterwards, I'll tell you. So I was a donkey. So it was towards the end, the second half of the year, that I surrendered my life to the Lord, and I told the Lord, "Lord, from now on, you take over." And in the course of it, I was sitting for, suddenly, my eyes were opened up, and I came across, now this is not what you should be doing, I'm telling you what I did, and the Lord might speak to you in another way. And suddenly, it came into my conscious memory, my mind, the word teacher, teacher, teach, 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 teach. Somehow I felt that the Lord wanted me to go to be a teacher after my passing out from Form 5, or at that time senior school certificate. And so I said, Lord, I'm very poor in my art subjects. I'm good in my science subjects. If you want me to be a teacher, you better make sure that I do well in my art subjects. All the years I'm in my secondary school, I failed my maths, never passed. Never passed. I failed my history, never passed. When I was in school certificate, that 1 year, I got my credit in history, I got my credit in maths. And I managed to get a grade one certificate. Within that year, 1 year only, the Lord took over and I changed my life. And so much so that I did not even have to write a letter to apply for a teaching post. The education department just sent a notice to the school. Those of you who want to register to be teachers, send in your names. I sent in my name. I was called for interview. As simple as that. Not even a letter to write or an application form to fill in. And the interviewers were a bit surprised to see me. You are under 17. The minimum age for to qualify to be a teacher, you must be 17. I was less than 17. So, you are not qualified. You are less than 17 years old. I said, sir, doesn't matter. The moment you appoint me, I shall be 17 because my birthday is early in the year. So, okay, I was accepted. And I was prepared even to work for 2 months without pay. And that was such a time at that time for observation period. So I went to the school to observe. All right. Now, to cut the story short, so I became a teacher. I became a teacher. I started in the primary school. I taught standard 1, standard 2, standard 3, standard 4, standard 5, standard 6. That is according to today's reckoning. At that time, it was primary 1, primary 2, and so on. When I was teaching there, in the church, I started dealing with the Sunday school. I was responsible for the Sunday school, and then the Lord helped me in my primary school training to use that knowledge to minister to the children. And that's why I became very involved in Sunday school teaching. So much so that, you see, how the Lord was preparing me. I began to use that knowledge to conduct Sunday school classes, Sunday school workshops, Sunday school seminar for all the other Sunday school teachers. I even went out into open air to start a Sunday school children's campaign in public for 5 days. Never did that before. Other people never did it before, but I just went out like a donkey. So I went out. And I had a children's campaign. And because of that children's campaign, today we have the Island Grace Gospel Center. And I also went over to Butterworth. I conducted classes there. And even in my Sunday school, I conducted classes for teachers in the Sunday school to prepare them for Sunday school teaching. I used all the knowledge that God, the Lord had given me in my vacation to use it for the Lord's knowledge, for the Lord's work. And that's how also Butterworth Gospel Hall is there. So you see, I was in a primary school teaching, but the Lord led me to use that knowledge for Him. I, being the way, the Lord led me. And that's when the Lord led me to find my wife in the Butterworth Sunday School, because my wife was teaching with me in the Sunday School. Then after that, I applied for a training in Kuala Lumpur. In Kuala Lumpur, and I was transferred out. I had, you see, here is what I wanted to be. I did not want to be what God wanted to be, me to be. What do I mean? I wanted to go for a specialist course in Cheras, now known as SPTI, Special Teachers Training Institute. So I studied the history of all those people who graduated from SPTI. Those who qualified, there were two groups there in SPTI, those of you here would know. There would be the basic group, and there would be the specialist teachers group. And from the history, all those in the specialist teachers training college, those who graduated would be sent back to their home states. And all those in the basic course would be sent out of their home states. That year, that particular year when I was in, when I came out, Kher Johari, the education minister, said all those who are in the specialist teachers training college will be sent out of the state, and all those in the basic course will be sent to their home states. I studied the history. I was prepared. I did not want to leave Penang. Those people who are born in Penang, they usually, the older generation, they were born in Penang, they will grow up in Penang, they will marry in Penang, they will die in Penang. Always like that. And they will launch forth to heaven from Penang. That's my generation. You see, that's my generation. Now, Jolene knows his father, her father is like that also, I'm sure. So here we are making sure that we are safe. But the Lord came in and transferred me to Timbuktu in Malaysia. Where was Timbuktu in Malaysia? Mentakap. At that time, it was just a one-road town in Mentakap. And I had to travel from Penang to Mentakap. It was really going to Timbuktu in Africa. There was hardly any transport, and all jungle land on both sides of the road, and the 40 roads or 40 miles of winding road from KL to Bentong, and then after that to Mentakap. Wow, it was a torture. Or you could cry. I could cry. I did cry because I was separated from my family and so on. But the Lord taught me, was teaching me. The Lord was molding me. I arrived there. I was so very sad. And the people in Mentakap, they heard about Temelo, because there was no church in Mentakap. There was one Temelo, because I would have to go there 6 miles away. And they had been praying for someone to help them in the Bible study and training them in the scriptures. So here was I, very sad. And when I arrived at that place, you know what they said? Praise the Lord! Praise the Lord! He has answered our prayer. And now look, someone has come to help us. Come to help you? I did not choose to come to help you. And I was crying there, and they were crying out happily. I was not happy with it. I was not happy. But the Lord taught me. The Lord taught me. He sent me there for a purpose. I planned. In fact, the moment I got my transfer notice, I went to the Ministry of Education. My lecturer said, look, you should not be there. You are a married person. You should not be sent out. It's not fair. So he took me to the Ministry of Education to see the person in charge of the transfers. And the person in charge said, he was very kind. He took up his phone, phoned up the CEO of Pahang, Mr. Lokman, and said, please, hold on, no transfer. Don't transfer this person to Pahang. Hand him back. And he said, no, I cannot transfer him back because I have already sent out the circular in black and white. He has to come. You see, do you realize this, that God is working behind the scene in order that I might be there? At that very moment, Mr. Roger Dover, the visionary, had left Temelo Gospel Center. And Temelo Gospel Center had no one to help them. And the Lord sent me there. And for 1.5 years, I was there, teaching them. I had only 3 places to go to: my home, the church, and the school. That's all. No other place. That was a cowboy town. And so the Lord used me in Temelo. And today, Temelo Gospel Center is what it is. That chapel is what it is today. Because I was there too. And through this, half of my class in Mentakap came to know the Lord. Without my preaching, word soon spread. Hey, you know, Mr. Ang, our teacher, he is speaking in that church, you know. And soon, almost the whole class came to attend the meetings. And by the time I came back, half of the class at least had come to know the Lord. The Lord had a purpose. The Lord had a purpose in doing these things. I did not want... Of course, I was very sad. I never lived outside the family. And for that term, I had to cook my own breakfast. I had to wash my own clothes. I had to wash the jamban, which I never did before. And so on. And so the Lord was teaching me for this kind of life. And after that, I have almost finished all that I wanted to teach the assembly on assembly principles and practices and truths and so on. I said, Lord, I have done what you have wanted me to do. It's time, please, you send me back. It's time, please, send back. And all of you who are older will know that when a teacher is sent to a rural school to teach, he will be there for about 5 to 7 years. You cannot run away from it. That is the rotation. And so I said, Lord, I finished. I've done what you want me to do. It's time that I join up with my family. Surely it's not your will to part husband and wife for so long. And I'm and so I sent in my application. But I said this, Lord, confirm it to me that if you should send me back, please send someone else to take my place. Don't leave the people desolate. And so I prayed. And behold, one doctor from Singapore applied. Dr. Lam, I'm not sure you know him. Dr. Lam applied to go to Temolo. I said, this is my confirmation. I can now go free back. And the Lord sent me back. And how long? After only less than 1.5 years, instead of 5 to 7 years. And many, many of my colleagues said that they were suspicious of me. They said I pulled a lot of cables. In order to do, the officers in the education department wanted to get bribed from me and so on. I refused. And you know what? The Lord controlled every circumstance. I managed to get the transfer because my former teacher in Penang Free School, he was transferred to Kuantan to be the CEO. And when I saw him and he saw me, I said, look, I have been here. I have been parted from my family. Oh, I know. I also feel the same now. Go back. So I went back. And there were the people. You pull cables. I said, no, I did not pull cables. I pulled the cables up there. Very powerful cables. So what I'm trying to emphasize to you is, you know, this is how I experienced God's will in my life. It's not something that, you know, that there is to reveal to you at one time, but stage by stage. As you accept one step, he gives you the revelation for another step. And he leads on, all right, that's for the primary school. Then after that, I was transferred to a secondary school. And when I was transferred to secondary school, my sphere of service in the church changed from children's work to youth work. Then I started speaking in Bible camps, in youth ministry, taking part in youth ministries, organized leadership camps and seminars and workshops. And so, you see, how my vocation training fitted in so well with my ministry in the assembly. And later on still, I was transferred to be the headmaster. I was telling the friends yesterday that one of my colleagues, whom I did not like to see, she was very aloof always. She talked very highly of herself, and I tried to avoid her every time. And she was appointed headmistress of a new school. And the organizer of schools was a friend of mine. Alright? And he approached her to be the new headmistress of the new school. And you know what she said? I will not be appointed there unless Mr. Ang goes. What a person. I never liked her at all. I never talked to her. I do not like her. And why choose me? I'm enjoying myself there. And 3 years more, I shall be on the honor roll. 15 years in Penang Free School, your name will appear, crafted in gold. And now I have missed it all at the time. Why did you me out? I was very angry with her. I said to my organizer of school, no, I won't go. She said, you have to go, because she won't go unless you go. So there I was with her at the new school. She was not happy. I was not happy. So I tried to get out. So I took a form to apply for the teacher's training college. So I put the form, you are liable to be transferred out of your home state. I'm not going back to Tamalo. Definitely no. So I took the form, I refused to sign, put it on the table. She saw that form on the table. She took it, she signed it and sent in. And she was transferred out to the teacher's college, and I was left to be the headmaster of the school. Ah, that's terrible. That's terrible. That's terrible. And so what happened was, in the staff was the wife of the principal of a teacher's training college. And the wife told the husband that I was trained in this specialist field. And that that one department in the teacher's college who that they let a lecturer in. Come. I said, no, sorry. I'm not going out of Penang again. Never mind. You won't go out. I said, how sure are you? Yeah. You won't go out. You won't come. And the closing date had been over already. Come, never mind. You come in. You just send in the form, you come in. So I prayed over it and so on. Oh, okay, I went in. And that's how I came to the teacher's college. And that's how my sphere in the ministry in church changed again. From youth ministry, I came to serve among the adults. And that's where I am today. To serve among the adults, to conduct workshops, to conduct teaching seminar, teach the word, visiting from place to place, and that's where the Lord called me. And so you see, what I'm trying to say is, your vocation, wherever you are, your profession, God has put you there for a special purpose. And He is molding you. He is just fashioning you to the time when He wants you to be used in the place where He wants you to be. And what you need to do now is to look inside. Why is the Lord placing me here? The Lord has placed me here for a special purpose. And that purpose is to do what He wants me to build, to do and to be. And therefore, take hold, master your skills, whatever skills they may be. Clerical skills, administration skills, IT skills, whatever they may be, they can be used for the Lord's service. They can be used for the Lord's service. You don't believe me, you come and tell me afterwards. Or even the question time, that you have some skill which you think cannot be used. I'll show you how to use it. If I cannot show you a church that can use you, I'll tell you that I can use you. And it's a service unto the Lord for the sake of the Lord's servants. See? So treat every step where you go as the Lord's will. Alright, I must hurry. I've taken so much time already. So the point is, you have the freedom of choice. You choose, but you're responsible. Alright? If your choice is within the center of His will, and by that I mean that first step when you surrender your life to the Lord and to say to Him, Lord, you can do whatever you want with me, then He will lead you on. I being the way the Lord led me. In the way would mean that you are in the place where the Lord can use you. This morning I have problem with the two people. I was in their way all the time. You know what I mean? If they wanted to go that way, I was in their way, blocking their way, and they could not go. So I was in their way, not in that way. You are in the way when you fit in with the Lord's plan. Alright, I must hurry from here. And we look at B. If your choice is within the confines of His word, but outside the center of His will, He still will bless you, but it may not be His best. What I'm trying to say is this, that God gives you a choice. He gives you the opportunity to be what you want, what He wants you to be. But then, there is a choice that sometimes you may not want to be what He wants you to be. He still gives you a freedom of choice. But that freedom of choice that you exercise should be within His word. Within His word. Meaning that it is not against His word. For example, He will not ask you, you should not choose a job that has to do with gambling, that has to do with racing, and so on. No matter what the attraction is, or the places where you are encouraged to do immoral living, and so on, those places are out. So, while He gives you the responsibility to choose, you choose within the teachings of the word. The word must still be there. And I don't have time to turn to the verses now, but if I just show you one verse. So for example, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 23. And we read, the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God, I'm sorry, not 5:23, chapter 4, verse 3. For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, so on, and not in the lust of the flesh. Alright, so this is the will of God. This is the will of God as contained in the Word of God. In other words, I'm telling you this, that there is such a thing as the precept, as the prescribed will of God. The prescribed will of God is what is in the Word. And then there is also the personal will of God. The personal will of God is His choice of wanting you to be what He wants you to be. And if you sometimes are a bit disobedient and you cannot fit in with His personal will of God, you still must keep within the confines of His prescribed will of God. Prescribed will of God means the will of God as written in His Word. And you must not do anything outside the teaching of the Word. And to be very frank, those of you who are here, well, you do, as in the instruction given by Abraham to the servant, go and take a wife for my son Isaac, but don't take anyone from outside our nation, from outside our tribe. And the servant asked, what if I cannot find one? Then don't get one from outside. Send him back. And this is what you have to pay if you want to be true to the will of God. That if you cannot find someone that is in the way, by the way, in the Acts, true Christianity is described as the way. If you cannot find anyone in the way, then leave, return to the way, and go on. And wait, the Lord will open up the circumstances. The Lord will open up the events that may come to your life, and then He will lead you along. And if, as Paul says, if He leads you on and you need to be single, be single. And He needs you to be married, be married. But whatever it is, you have a choice. So that He says that if you are single and you cannot contain yourself, and if you burn, you'll get married. But if you get married, you're responsible for that. Alright? You're responsible. But don't marry outside the Word. So remember this. There is the prescribed will of God and there's the personal will of God. The personal will of God will give you the best of God's blessings. The prescribed will of God, you can still go your way, not whatever will be, but you are responsible for the outcome. You are responsible for the outcome. Okay, we go on from there. I think perhaps we need to look at Numbers chapter 22. Numbers 22. Of that incident when Balaam asked God for permission to curse Israel because he was offered some money by Barak the king. And so in Numbers chapter 22 we see how God dealt with him. Numbers chapter 22. You know the story well, where Balaam was offered money to curse Israel. Then we read in verse 22, chapter 22 and verse 22. God's anger was kindled because he went. God said, you want to go? You go. That was a test. Then he chose to go. And God was angry because he chose to go. And the angel of the Lord stood in the way for an adversary to hinder him, stood in the way. Now we just learned now that we must be in the way for the Lord to lead us. And here, he was going out of the way. And when he went out of the way, that the angel stopped him in the way. That is out of the way, in the way. You follow me? He went out of the way. And so the angel came in the way of out of the way, in order to bring him back in the way where God wanted him to go. And so we find he was blocked. Alright? And that's why God was angry. Verse 23. And the ass, he was on a donkey, an angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn. And the ass turned aside out of the way, in order that he might go back to the way. Alright? And the last part, Balaam smote the ass to turn her into the way. But when into the way means to go out of the way. But the ass was wanting to go back in the way. But he wanted to go out of the way. And the angel stopped him in the way so that he can go back into the way. You must follow me. Verse 24. But the angel stood in the path of the vineyard. Alright, let's go on. Verse 26. And the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where was no way. Ah, that is the thing. The Lord wants you to be in His way. But you go out of your way. When you go out of your way, He may perhaps block you. In your way, out of your way. And when He blocks you, you still do not want to go back to His way, and you want to persist in your way, although it is out of the way, then the angel will come on, or he will send a hindrance into your life and say, and gives you no way. And you get stuck there. And so we read, and finally we hear the donkey speaking. Alright? Verse 28, the Lord reopened the mouth of the ass and said unto Balaam, what have I done unto thee that thou hast smitten me these three times? Verse 31, the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way, and his sword drawn in his hands. Verse 32, last part, I went out to withstand thee, said the angel, because thy way is perverse before me. Verse 34, and Balaam said unto the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I knew not that thou stoodest in the way against me, so that until there was no way. Now, sometimes, you know, as we go on in life, seeking perhaps to do God's will, seeking perhaps to do our will, whatever it is, if we have gone out of the way and we are no more in the way, then the Lord will perhaps obstruct us in the way, and to the extent that He will provide no more way. No more way. And that's what people sometimes say. When you are at your extremity, it is God's opportunity. And that's what it is. So long as you think you can go on without God, you are not going to get the best blessing from God. Until God puts you in that point of extremity, then you have nowhere to turn to, because there's no way, then you look up, and that's God's opportunity for you, for Him to make you go back into the way to return. So I hope that you will see this whole picture of knowing God's will from a progressive development, from that first step that you take, and that is the surrendering of your life. Lord, take hold of me as a burning sacrifice. And once you do that, then you will approve the will of God, the acceptable, perfect will of God, as you go on step by step as He leads on the way. And so, now I finish, because it's time. The point now is there such a thing as whatever will be? No. As you go on, step by step, learning to walk with Him, learning to be in the way, you must always be observant, be ever listening, so your eyes open, your ears open, but above all things else, your heart open to the promptings of the Spirit within you, and to see that whatever comes in your way, while it may not be whatever will be, it may be God's opportunity to speak to you. And when if it is God speaking to you, take it. Take it and then accept it, obey, then take that first step. Take that step. Once you have taken that step, the Lord will lead you on to a next step. But don't hope for the Lord to open up all the steps to you at one go. A step at a time. And this morning, the threat under morning manner is just this. If you have not taken that first step, do so. At a time when you are free this day, or even afterwards, If you have not done so at all, I beseech you, brothers and sisters, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your worship. That is the meaning of worship. The presentation of a burnt offering unto the Lord. Don't give him the body when it is lame. Don't give him the body when the eye is blind. Don't give him the body when the ear is hard of hearing. Worship is to come to him with the offering of your whole body. Lord, take me as I am. And I'm sure the Lord will bless. Whatever will be. No. The Lord gives you the freedom of choice, and you're responsible for that choice. And when you stray away from the way, he will seek to be in the way, to drive you back into his way. And if you are not going to listen, then he may block you so much that you have no other way. Then hopefully when you are at that stage, you will really repent and return to the way. Then he will change his mind accordingly, so to speak, and he will lead you on to the next step and the next step to follow. May the Lord bless all of us here. Perhaps we'll sing one verse, one hymn in closing, in our hymn book, in our program book. The last one, Living for Jesus. Living for Jesus, a life that is true. This was another hymn that I used. I could remember for many, many years ago when I gave my life to the Lord. And this hymn still speaks true to me. May it be a challenge to all of you. Living for Jesus. After that, we ask Abba Lucky Kind to kindly close with our prayer.
Living for Jesus, a life that is true, striving to please him in all that I do, yielding allegiance, glad-hearted and free. This is the pathway of blessing for me. Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I owe no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give and swore to live, O Christ, for thee. Let's stand up for the second verse. Living for Jesus, who died in my place, bearing on Calvary my sin and disgrace. Such love constrains me to answer his call, for lo, his lady, and give Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, for thou in thy atonement didst give thyself for me. I owe no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for Jesus, who us little one, my dearer treasure, the light of his mouth, seeking the lost ones, he died to redeem, bringing the weary to find rest in him. Oh, Lord and Savior, I give myself to thee, while thou in thy atonement didst for me. I own no other master, my heart shall be thy throne. My life I give henceforth to live, O Christ, for thee
Amen.